Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this morning and grateful for the time that we've had with you already, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that we would hear that still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your bulletin is a sheet that you can follow along with on sermon notes and fill in the blank. Also, there's plenty of room if God is speaking to you to write that down and keep a note of that. Also, on the other side are some devotional scriptures that you can take home this week and follow along, which I encourage you to do. So we've heard part of the story. Well, let's start this way. Are you familiar with what a storm chaser is? These are generally people who have some desire to understand weather patterns and how storms in particular operate. For most of us, when we hear the warning siren or on TV or a radio broadcast that tornadoes have either touched down or could be expected to touch down, it is enough to put literally the fear of God into us. But for many, we don't understand that fear or even terror as we've not personally experienced the destructive power of this type of storm, let's say a tornado. But for those of us who have, they have a healthy respect for them and will willingly give them a wide berth. If you remember back to 1996 movie called Twister, based on the work of scientists at NOAA and the National Severe Storms Laboratory, in which a team of storm tracers were trying to launch data recorders into the eye of a tornado so that they could understand them better. The idea was to be able to make or provide earlier warning systems so that people could take shelter and keep them from harm. And we note that storm chasers chase after storms to better understand them. Storm chasers chase after storms to better understand them. And in doing so, storm chasers of all people have a healthy respect or fear or awareness of storms. Not because they're fearful or afraid of them, but because they respect and understand their true power. There's another type of chaser that chases after the most powerful of all, who chases after the one who creates by speaking it into being, who chases after the one who heals with a word, who chases after the one who can save the foulest of souls. And those are God chasers, God chasers. In our scripture this morning, we learned of a situation where the Israelites were being oppressed. Here's the backstory. God speaks to Abraham that he's to become a father of many nations. However, Abraham only has one son, Isaac, who is to be the continuing father or the start of God's people. Isaac then has two sons, Esau and Jacob, Jacob being the bloodline for this great nation. And then Jacob has 12 sons. The oldest 10 become jealous of the 11th son, whose name is Joseph. And Joseph is sold first to slave traders and then sold in Egypt. Joseph has good and bad experiences, but in the end, Joseph saves Egypt and all his brothers and their families, and his families, brothers and families, number about 70 at that time, saving them from 7 years of famine. Joseph becomes number two in the land, only under Pharaoh himself. And eventually, as all humanity experiences, at some point in life, Joseph, his brothers, and Pharaoh all die. And then we reach verse 8, which says this. Read it with me. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, The Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Now, when we look at those words, far too numerous for us, we're now talking that the Israelites were now not several hundred souls or even several thousand souls. No, the Israelites had now lived in Egypt for over 400 years, and scholars believe the Israelite nation numbered or had a population of well over 2 million people. So when I think of a new king, think in terms of the United States. Many who can name who the first president is, which is who? George Washington. But if I were to ask you what he has done for us, what would you say? Would you say he chopped down a cherry tree? Some might say he crossed the Valley Forge and won a decisive battle over Britain. But who remembers Washington and Valley Forge and how it became the turning point for Americans to become independent for Britain? Who would remember that he presided over the drawing up of the U.S. Constitution and then was elected to become the first president? Who would remember that he determined when the United States wanted him to stay on as president that he would not become like a British monarchy or ruler like in Britain? My guess is maybe in another 200 years, this will all but be forgotten. George Washington, who? And so we note over time, people tend to forget the important. They tend to forget the important. So the new Pharaoh sees the numbers of Hebrew and the fear that one day the Israelites might rise up against Egypt, and so they begin to put them into slavery. The Hebrew people become oppressed, but they continue to grow in numbers. And so Pharaoh comes up with another solution. Pharaoh gets the two chief Hebrew midwives whose names were Shiprah and Puah, and he says to them, it's going to blow you away. Then, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, read the rest with me, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. Now here is the top dog in all the land who calls these two women and tells them to kill the baby boys at birth. Pharaoh had the power to punish these women, throw them into prison, or even kill them if they didn't do what he asked them to do. It would be like a tornado. If you could reason and talk, saying to a tornado, if a tornado could reason and talk with us, and say, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to crush you. That's pressure. Now, I know some of you like to work under pressure because it forces you to get things done. A report of some type, maybe another deadline at work. Taxes are due when? April 15th. Or like maybe even clean the house before the pastor comes over. Now, that's pressure. No. But the pressure to kill babies when they're born, we might think today that this is outrageous. But it wasn't so long one man convinced a whole nation that Jews should be exterminated and about 6 million people died. Or in 1992, when the Bosnian Serb forces perpetrated atrocious crimes against the Bosnian Muslims and Croatian civilians, resulting in the deaths of some 100,000 people. And if that isn't enough, from April to mid-July, April, May, June, July, in 3.5 months, members of the Hutu majority in Rwanda murdered some 500,000 to 800,000 people, mostly of the Tutsi minority, with horrifying brutality and speed. And we note sometimes what was once outrageous is no longer outrageous, but it still happens. Really? This is what Pharaoh was asking for? A baby genocide? How would Shipra and Pua respond? How might you respond when the top dog in all the land asks you to do something brutal like that? This is how Shipra and Pua responded. Read it with me. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Did you catch those two words? They feared God. And what is interesting about fearing God is that it's not the type of fear you'd experience at, say, a zombie movie or a horror movie. Ah! Where you're frightened. The fear of God involves a reverent or awed view of God. We note that fear of God involves a reverent or awed view of God. Reverence is based more on love or high esteem one has for another, like George Washington or the Billy Grahams of the world. And this fear or reverence or awe helps one to stay in a right relationship with God. It helps us to desire to please God, to be or become holy in thought, in word, and in our deeds. It turns us from not wanting to displease God to wanting to please God. There's a difference from not wanting to displease God, but wanting to please God. Someone said this morning, the storm they most fear is their spouse. And so we do things to not displease them as opposed to wanting to please them. With God, it's people wanting to be holy so they can be in a right and tight relationship with God. And we note that because of this healthy fear of God, Shipra and Pua preferred to please God rather than to please Pharaoh. Which leads us to three principles that we want to know about being a God chaser. And being a God chaser, and these principles may seem a little simplistic, but they're ones that people overlook all the time. And so we note that the first principle is God chasers know there is a Creator God who exists. God chasers know that there is a Creator God who exists. For some people, they believe or have a naturalistic worldview of life, which means that people were not created supernaturally and do not exist for any particular reason. So it stands that if there's no creator, then we can live by standards like the strong survive. And the only reason to live by a set of morals or laws that have been put in place is that there will be punishment if we don't follow the rules. For Shipra and Pua, Pharaoh believed himself to be God, and therefore he was the ultimate human authority to be obeyed, at least according to him. But they knew the creator of the universe and knew that God existed, which leads us to our next principle. Our second principle is that God chasers know there is a God. God chasers know there is a God who is concerned about our actions on earth. Who is concerned about our actions on earth. If a person believes in naturalism or the fact that there is no God, then they have no fear of a higher power other than the people to whom they must answer to at some point in their life. This allows them to do what they think is right or to follow whatever they believe to be the truth. Shipra and Pua believed in and knew God, and that God would not want them to destroy babies as they were born, because all life is sacred. I think of those people, the Serbs and the Nazis and the Rwandans, who had no concept that all life is sacred because they didn't have the understanding of God who created all things to be sacred. and they didn't understand or were concerned about their actions that someone else was asking them to take. And so they chose Pua and Shipra. They chose to follow God over a human king. And this should be interesting to us. It's one thing to know there is one who created us. A lot of people believe in God. It's another thing to know that our Creator is concerned about how we live out our lives on earth. Because God knows that a slippery slope exists when we choose to ignore God's best practices for living. Love God, love your neighbor. And that when we ignore one, we are likely to ignore another and another as we begin to slide down a slippery slope where it is difficult at best to know God, let alone believe in God. Which leads us to our third principle about God chasers. You see, God chasers know that there are consequences. God chasers know that there are consequences to our actions in this life and in the life to come. In this life and the life to come, there are consequences to our actions. Shipra and Pua knew that life was precious to God, and therefore it became precious to them. Sometimes I think the thought of consequences to our actions are like guardrails in life. We're traveling down the road on this journey we call life, and we think that maybe we could do this or that, and God wouldn't really notice. But the guardrails keep us from getting too far off track. We don't know that if we break through the guardrail, there is a cliff that we would tumble over, never surviving the fall. But of course, the analogy breaks down here as God is a gracious God, and that the whole, and that is a whole nother subject for another day, but that God is always available for us even when we do go through the guardrail. But God chasers know that there are consequences in this life and in the life to come. In the New Testament, Jesus would put it this way when he was speaking in terms of our present actions, especially seen in terms of their impact on the eternal. Jesus would say it this way, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Read the rest with me. "Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." See, God chasers know there are consequences to their actions in this life and in the life to come. Now, the thing about storm chasers is they understand the power of the storms that they chase. And as a result, there's a level of respect or reverence that they have for those storms. Russ Ramsey stated it this way about having the fear of God. He says, "It is a posture of deep respect and awe. God is completely other. He is not like us. He is perfect in holiness, majesty, authority, and power. His beauty exceeds the grandest vista. His worth is greater than the largest, purest diamond." And then he goes on to say this, "His power is like that of a storm, magnificent to look at from a distance, but dangerous if we presume to draw near unprepared. To revere God is to regard him as worthy of all honor, of all praise." I love that. His power is like that of a storm, magnificent to look at from a distance, but dangerous if we presume to draw near unprepared. To be a God chaser, one must believe in a God who creates, a God who cares what we do and don't do in this lifetime. We must believe that what we do in this lifetime is important to God and that it impacts our eternal future. Now, there are three boxes in this week's challenge on your sermon notes. Three boxes at the bottom of your sermon notes. You can commit to one or to two or to all three, depending on where you find yourself with God. Maybe you need to take it home and to think about it today. What is God wanting me to do in regard to being a God chaser? The first box that you can check is to help you to develop, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to develop a reverent awe of God. Sometimes we take God too casually. Maybe we need to up our reverence of God. Maybe you've gotten a little loose in your understanding of God and again, haven't taken God very seriously in regard to listening to His voice in your life so as to follow and obey God. Check this box off if each morning you want to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to develop or maintain a reverent awe of God every day this week. Maybe check box number 2 is what you need to check off, where you want to ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom to make godly decisions in the coming week. To ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom to make godly decisions this coming week. Sometime this week you're going to be faced with a decision that will affect how you're going to live out that day. It may be how you treat someone. Maybe it's a question of whether you will forgive someone who has harmed you. Or how you will behave when you get cut off on the road. What you might watch on TV or read. Maybe you need to check this box off to ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom to make godly decisions this coming week so you can be a better God chaser. Or maybe it's the third box you want to check off this week. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you renew your desire to be a God chaser. Help you renew your desire to be a God chaser. Maybe it's been a while since you spent some time with God, some daily time with God in His Word or in prayer. Lent is coming up, a time of sober reflection of our own personal relationship with God. And you're not sure you want to be a part of a small group or give any attention to practicing a spiritual discipline or Lent or be a part of the services that will be offered like Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, or Good Friday. Maybe you need to check this box off because it's been a while since you've really spent some serious time chasing after God. So you ask the Holy Spirit to help you to renew your desire to be a God chaser. Maybe you want to check one or maybe you want to check all three boxes. But don't leave not checking anything because we all can check one of these boxes. Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful. We're grateful that You are magnificent. We're grateful that You are all-powerful. And we're grateful that You love us, that You care for us. And Lord, that as God chasers, You have given us a charge to keep. A kind of charge that says, every day I want you to take one more step closer to Me. That we might be more in love with You. That we might love our family, our friends, our neighbors, our work associates better. That we might be willing to forgive more. That we would be willing to spend a little more time in Your Word. Or listen to Your Word through podcasts. Whatever that might be, Lord. But You've given us a charge to keep. And we desire to be the God chasers that You would be pleased with. So Lord, draw us to Yourself. Lord, help us to be God chasers of incredible, incredible desire for You. We ask in Jesus' name and all God's people said,